You're listening to Bible Through the Year 2017, a weekly devotion to supplement the annual Bible reading plan for Cornerstone Baptist Church in Wylie, Texas. Once again, I'm Justin Wheeler. I'm the preaching pastor for Cornerstone, and this is week 21 of our Bible reading plan. We're going to be reading 1 Chronicles chapter 21 through 25, 2 Samuel chapter 22 through 24, and then various Psalms again this week. Now this week, we're also going to be reading about David in his twilight years, and we're going to see what happens to him after the sin with Bathsheba that we talked about last week, and after all of the problems that he had with his son Absalom. Now we've been following David since his childhood, and along the way we've seen some pretty amazing scenes from his life. But at this point in the story, he's older, he's beginning to slow down, and he's beginning to reflect upon all that God has brought him through. Now, in 2 Samuel chapter 22, we read of David's song of deliverance. And in this psalm, he recounts all that God did for him throughout his life. It's testimonial. This song also appears in the book of Psalms as Psalm 18. And it not only recounts David's testimony of God's protection throughout his life, but also he recounts how God has been gracious, not just to him, but to the nation of Israel, by establishing a kingly legacy, a house of David over them. Now, this song is wonderful, and it's a good end, or it would have been a really nice final chapter to David's life, but it's not the final chapter of David's life. In fact, the final chapter of 2 Samuel shows David fall into sin yet again when he calls for a census of the people, and then he confesses to God that he has sinned against God. Now, the odd thing about this whole scene is that the text doesn't really tell us why it was sinful for David to do this. But in 1 Chronicles 21, we read that the same story, and we read that God was displeased with what David had done. And then it brings about God's judgment. David is actually given a choice on how he wants God's judgment to fall. So clearly what David had done was wrong, but we're not really sure why. So we're kind of left to wonder, what was David's sin in calling for the census? Was it his own pride? Was it simply David taking initiative in a direction that God hadn't led him? Was it connected to some military plan on David's part, you know, trying to get all of his troops together, and he had a plan that God hadn't approved? I mean, was it associated with some desire for money to be gained through a census tax? I mean, we don't know. But we do know that in the end, this decision brought about God's judgment on David and the people of Israel. So, as we've seen David's story unfold and now come to an end, we're left with some big questions. Why did God choose this man to not only be king, but also to be the earthly great-great-grandfather to Jesus? And here's the bigger question, at least for me. What was it about David that made him a man after God's own heart? And that's what I want us to discuss this week. What was it about David that made him a man after God's own heart? Now, if we go back to the time of David's anointing as the next king over Israel, we have to remember and recognize that there was nothing that David had done to earn that blessing. At that point, David was just a child, and God's choice of David over all the other men in Israel was not to prove David's worth. It was to prove God's worth. You know, Saul, on the other hand, was a man that fit the mold of what the people had come to expect of a king. He was tall, he was strong, he was handsome. He was the type of man that other men want to follow. He was the type of man that most women are naturally attracted to. He was a man's man. But he wasn't exactly God's man. David was God's man. He wasn't the most imposing figure in the eyes of men, but he was a young man who trusted God with his life. He was, first, a man who loved God and who possessed a bold and fearless faith in the power and might of God. David was jealous for God's glory, not for his own namesake, but for the sake of God's name. And he was even willing to walk out on the battlefield with no armor as a teenager to face the greatest champion and war-hardened soldier in the entire Philistine army, simply because that soldier was mocking David's God. So one of the factors that I think contributes to David being a man after God's own heart was his uncommon trust in the providence of God and his desire for God to be glorified no matter what it cost him. Now, we also learn that David was a man with a very tender heart. that lean toward poetry and songwriting and praise. I mean, both of his poetry and his praise songs were directed as worship to God. But what we learn in this is that David's heart was sensitive to the emotion of life and the emotion of a relationship with God. And he expressed that emotion in writing songs of praise. As king, he organized a group of Levites to take on the responsibility of leading worship around the temple. David also played instruments and was himself a singer who sought to engage with God through the emotional vehicle that is music. I mean, in other words, he wasn't just a military strategist, you know, thinking up plans in his mind, nor was he simply a systematic theologian. He was a man who worshiped God with all of his heart and his mind and soul and strength. But there's at least one more thing that might have contributed to David being a man after God's own heart, and it has to do with one of the duties of kings. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 17, God tells Israel that when they come into the promised land, he's going to give them a king. And in order that this king doesn't lead the people into sin, God requires something of him. Here's what God says in Deuteronomy chapter 17, starting in verse 18. "And when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself in a book a copy of this law," referring to the law of Moses, the first five books of the Bible. "And it must be approved by the Levitical priests." In verse 19, it goes on and says, "And it shall be with him, and he shall read in it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by keeping all the words of this law and these statutes and doing them, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brothers, and that he may not turn aside from the commandment, either to the right hand or to the left, so that he may continue long in his kingdom, he and his children in Israel." You see, the heart of the king was to be led by the word of God. And David was a man who, it appears, sought to follow in this statute. No, he didn't do this perfectly, but it seems to have been his common practice to meditate on God's word. I mean, in 2 Samuel 22:22, David writes this, "For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God." In other words, I haven't repudiated God and walked away and done what was right in my own eyes. I sinned, yes, but I did not depart from his word. In verse 23, he says, "For all his rules were before me, and from his statutes I did not turn aside." So what was it that caused God to call David a man after his own heart? Was it his trust in the providence of God? Was it his emotional bent towards songs of praise? Was it his devotion to the word of God in his heart? Was it one thing or was it a combination of things? I don't know. Perhaps you think it's related to something that I haven't even mentioned. And if so, that's okay. You see, the reason I want to ask this question and I want to encourage you to discuss it is so that we can think not just about David, but about ourselves. See, the truth is, I want to be a man who pursues the heart of God. And I want us to be a people who pursue the heart of God. So let's take some time to study, take some time to think and discuss what it truly means to be a man or a woman after the heart of God. Next, here's something I want us to meditate on, and it comes out of Psalm 57. Psalm 57 recounts a time in David's life when he was on the run from King Saul. You will remember that Saul had been hunting David down out of jealousy, and he was intent on taking David's life. But in David's desire not to stretch out his hand towards God's anointed king, he would flee from Saul and often took up hiding in caves so as not to force combat with the king. And this psalm in particular gives us a glimpse into the emotional struggle that David was going through in those times. I mean, he was filled with grief over the situation. He was afraid for his life, and he's lamenting the event that was taking place. But here in Psalm 57, we see that one of the ways that David would seek to comfort his soul in these times was to remember the merciful promises of God and to sing about them. I mean, in verse 6, we read that David's soul is bowed down, which is a reference to the brokenness and sorrow that he feels. And it's not hard for us to imagine feeling this way. I mean, yeah, we can't identify with the circumstance, but we know what it feels like to be filled with sorrow and to be fearful and to be overcome with deep sadness. But the thing that I want us to learn from this psalm is not just the fact that we can identify with David's emotion, but I want us to see what David does to address the sorrow in his heart. He sings. I mean, in verses 7 through 11, David battles against sadness and fear by praising God. He remembers God's love in his mind, he sets his mind on God's faithfulness, and then he wakes up at dawn and he begins to sing. Here's what he writes in these verses. He says, "I will sing and I will make melody. I will awake the dawn. I awake my glory. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will give thanks. I will sing praises. I will exalt you, O God, above the heavens." How does David battle against the sorrow in his heart? He sings. Now, is this a strategy that you and I employ when our soul is bowed down? It should be. Let us remember this from David's life. Let us remember to turn to the Psalms and sing to the Lord from them. Let us practice the soul-restoring discipline of praising God. And there are a whole host of songs that we can sing to the Lord. Modern songs in our hymn books, modern songs that we have on CD or MP3. But let us not neglect to sing from the Psalms. We're commanded in the New Testament to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So let us build into our strategy for battling against sorrow and brokenness the singing of praises to God, praises that come directly out of the Psalms. At the very least, let our songs of praise be filled with the deep truths of God's Word. And let us learn to let the joy of the Lord be our strength, especially in times of deep sorrow. Now, as our study of David's life comes to a close, we have plenty to think about and learn from, but there's something specific that I want us to pray about. You see, David was a great man, one of the greatest men in the Scriptures, in the Old Testament, but he was also a deeply flawed man. And yet, in his mercy, God used David to accomplish great things in the world and in the life of his people. And I want us to pray that God would use us, imperfect though we be, to accomplish His purpose in the world and in the lives of His people. Let's pray that we would be sensitive, like David, to our sin, broken over our sin, and quick to confess it to God, seeking His forgiveness, like we saw last week in Psalm 51. But also let's pray that God would use us to accomplish His purpose of salvation in the lives of others. Let's pray that God would use us to strengthen the church as we serve Him and serve others. Let's pray that God would teach us to be men and women after His heart. And let's pray that we would be able to leave a godly legacy for others to follow. Now, if you want to learn more about Cornerstone Baptist Church, you can find us online. Check us out at cornerstonewiley.org. You can even follow us on social media, Twitter, Instagram, at CBCWiley. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/cornerstonewiley. And if you want, you can also subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or Google Play, just to make sure that you can stay up to date on all the new content. Thanks for listening.